Will you bow with me in prayer, please? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Inasmuch as the month of January has been set aside as a month of dedication for us, individually and collectively as a congregation, in anticipation of 1961 and whatever it shall bring forth, we have been asking ourselves some very pertinent questions as a congregation and attempting to answer them. What is the church? And then, why is the church? What is her purpose for being in the world? Is it just much ado about nothing? Or is there a real function for the church? She has become in many places simply another community organization. Like PTA, or Rotary, or a lodge. And in very few places is she felt to be more important than these. As a matter of fact, there are all kinds of people who decide not to go to church and become active because they are busy, after all, in Community Chest or Red Cross. And aren't they serving their community? Well, is this the way to look at the church and her mission in the world? Is her task the same as these others? Or does she have a little different task? And then this morning we ask the question, whose job is it? Whatever the mission of the church is, upon whom rests the responsibility of this mission? Now you will recall that some Sundays ago, we spoke on unemployment in the church and tried to point out that whereas most people think of the work of the church as being the official boards of the church or the choir or the ushers or the Sunday school teaching or being an officer, that as a matter of fact, this is not the work of the church at all. What the officers of the church and the choir and the ushers and the Sunday school teachers and officers do is in order that the church might do her work. Properly understood, the work of the church doesn't happen inside the church at all. The work of the church begins when the church has been vacated. The work of the church is downtown. The work of the church is across the street in the country club. The work of the church is in your neighborhood. Just like the work of the church is in Africa and Asia and the islands of the sea. And the work of the church is everybody's job. Not just the preachers. These last 3 days, I have been in Miami Beach for the annual Layman's Leadership Institute, where about 800 men and women from all over the United States gathered. And we had a very wonderful time together, with God blessing in most remarkable ways. But one of the phenomenon in that institute were these men who frankly testified to the fact that until something had happened in their lives to change them, their idea of Christianity was what they did for an hour and 15 minutes in the pew on Sunday morning. That this was it. Worship, period. And they didn't even worship, as a matter of fact. They did not conceive of their responsibility as being a witness for Jesus Christ in their own job and home and neighborhood and club. That was the preacher's job. It never occurred to them that the preacher isn't there, and you can't witness where you aren't. But they felt that the job of the man in the pew is to subsidize the man in the pulpit, which is interesting because probably the average minister subsidizes his own labors more than the average man in the pew with money. But this they conceived as being Christianity, coming to church once a week, maybe, with a degree of regularity, period. Is it any wonder, therefore, that our communities are filled with men and women who think of the church as just another organization like PTA or Red Cross or Community Chest, doing a very good job, and we ought to have a church, but if I'm busy in PTA, then I'm doing what I ought to be doing. I can't give time to the church as well. Or if I'm busy in my lodge or my club, etc. And for this reason, you see, the average Christian is an unemployed Christian because he assumes that the work of the church is what goes on inside the sanctuary, and he's not elected to an office or doesn't have a voice to sing in the choir, or he doesn't want the responsibility of ushering, and therefore he's unemployed if this is the work of the church. But this is not the work of the church. Every Christian ought to be employed, and unemployment is an infinitely greater tragedy in the kingdom of God than it is in the economics of our world. Now this morning we want to look at that which is already explicit in your minds because of what we have said and what we've intimated concerning this question, whose job is it anyhow? Now there are really two answers to that question. Will you notice the passage of Scripture which we read? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. Because I go to my Father. And then he promises that when he goes to the Father, he will send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, whom the world cannot receive. But, says Jesus, concerning the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, he dwelleth with you. Now he was in Christ, who dwelt with his disciples, and he shall be in you. Now he is with you, then he shall be in you. And then we have in the bulletin another passage of Scripture, the 16th, where again Jesus is speaking concerning the Holy Spirit. And he says as follows, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And then verse 14, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. And verse 14, he shall glorify me. So that when you ask this question, whose job is it? The answer is, it's the job of one person. There's only one whose job it is, and that is the Holy Spirit. There is only one prophet. There is only one preacher. There is only one evangelist. There is only one witness. There is only one missionary, and that one is the Holy Spirit. Billy Graham is not the evangelist. The Holy Spirit is the evangelist. The Apostle Paul was not the missionary. The Holy Spirit was the missionary. The only evangelist, the only missionary, the only prophet, the only witness that has ever worked in human history is the Holy Spirit. Whose job is it? It is the job of the Holy Spirit. You cannot witness. I cannot witness. You cannot evangelize. I cannot evangelize. There is only one who can, and that is the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit does not work in a vacuum. The Holy Spirit works in the bodies of believers. He uses their eyes, their brains, their lips. He walks with their feet. He works with their hands. He loves with their heart. This is God in flesh. Remember, we decided that the church, whatever else she is an extension of the incarnation. God in flesh. God in human flesh. And that the ministry or mission of the church is the extension of the mission or ministry of the incarnation. Now here we see it. Jesus Christ said, He is with you. He shall be in you. He is with you now, for He is in me. And you remember that the Lord Jesus Christ was filled with the Holy Spirit. At the outset of His ministry, the record said He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And His ministry was conducted by the Holy Spirit working through the Son of God. That's why Jesus said, The words that I say are not my words, but the Father's. The works that I do are not mine, but the Father's. It was literally the Holy Spirit indwelling Jesus Christ, the incarnation, that did the work. But Jesus was limited geographically when He was up on the earth during His ministry. When He was in Bethany, He could not be in Jerusalem, which was 6 miles away. When He was on one side of the Sea of Galilee, He could not be on the other side. And when He was crossing in a boat, He could be on neither side. When He spoke in one place, they could not hear Him in another. He was limited geographically. But today, the thrilling fact is that this limitation is no longer true. For on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon all of the disciples of Jesus. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit as God in the person of the Holy Spirit. And if you'll read on in John 14, you'll see this. The Father in the person of the Holy Spirit and the Son in the person of the Holy Spirit literally entered into the bodies of the disciples. Literally indwelt the bodies of the disciples. And spoke then through the disciples, so that every one of the 120 disciples witnessed that day. And the record tells us that there were Jews from every nation under heaven gathered together in Jerusalem, and every nation heard the gospel in its own language from these witnesses. Now the ministry was conducted through 120. The same ministry, the ministry of Jesus Christ, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But now, working through 120. And then 3,000 Jews were saved. So it was the Holy Spirit, the ministry of Christ, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, working through 3,120. Later there were 5,000 plus men plus women and children. And it was the Holy Spirit working through the 3,120 plus the 5,000 men plus women and children. And on the day of Pentecost, or rather following that sometime later, the Apostle Paul began his terrible persecution. And you remember that the whole church was scattered out of Jerusalem, but the record says these thousands of Christians now, by that time in Jerusalem, scattered by persecution, went everywhere and every one of them preaching the gospel. The same ministry, but now through thousands. So that tomorrow morning, the ministry of Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit, will be working in 100 million, 200 million places. Jesus will be working in Congress tomorrow morning. When they convene at 12:30 or whenever they do, Jesus will be there. He'll be in the White House. I don't know that the president is a Christian. I don't know him. But I know Jesus will be in the White House tomorrow. He'll be in the old state building. He'll be in all of the regulatory agencies. In all probability, Jesus Christ will be working tomorrow in every office building downtown. He'll be over in the Pentagon, in the Navy Department. I believe that Jesus will be working tomorrow in the Kremlin. And in Beijing, just like he was working in Caesar's household during Paul's day. This, you see, is the work of the church being done. One evangelist working through 100 million, 200 million disciples. Now, when I want to know how the church is doing in the world, I'm not going to check out the World Council or the National Council or the United Presbyterian Church in the USA or any other council, because this isn't the way the Holy Spirit works in the world. This isn't the influence of the church in the world. This is not the impact the church has on the world. The influence of the church in the world, the impact of the church in the world, is the impact of 200 million more or less men and women in whom the Spirit of God does the work of Jesus Christ wherever they are. The question, therefore, is, will the Holy Spirit be fulfilling the ministry of Christ where you are this week? Now, when I say that, I'm not asking, are you going to be talking about Jesus all the time? As a matter of fact, you might be a better witness if you didn't talk about him at all, but just did your work well. Here is a man who goes to a Christian meeting at noon and comes to work late, and he says, I don't care what anybody cares. I was at a Christian meeting, therefore I can come to work late. He's being a bad witness when he comes to work late, and he's justifying it by doing something Christian. Any Christian that neglects his work to, quote, witness for Jesus Christ is being a bad witness. The thing that will honor Jesus Christ is doing your work to his glory and doing it well. That's being a witness. You can be sure that the Lord Jesus Christ didn't turn out any poor products when he was in the carpenter shop on the bench. He doesn't work that way. He did his work well. He was a master craftsman. Yesterday noon, Billy Graham closed our institute in Miami Beach. And at the close of the meeting, he gave an invitation. He preached just the simple gospel. And he gave an invitation for any who would like to receive Christ as Savior to come forward. There we were in the grand ballroom of the Fontainebleau Hotel. And I suppose that 75 or 100 people came forward to receive Christ. Now, to be sure, there were many folks on the outside. As the doors of the grand ballroom were open and these folks were going by in this very beautiful lobby, they would look in and stop and slip to the doorway and listen, and some of them would sit in the back seat. One Jewish lady stood at the doorway for a moment and she said, can I go in there and listen? And somebody they weren't thinking, I don't believe, but they said, well, you can if you register. No, she could have gone in anyway, but she turned around and said, where's the registration desk? It was across the lobby. She went over and plunked down $25 and picked up her registration slip and went into the meeting, and she accepted Christ. She said she'd been seeking for this all her life. Well, there were quite a number who were just guests in the hotel and out of curiosity dropped into the meeting. Gentiles and Jews, mostly Jews, but there they were. Many of them went forward. But most of the people that went forward were delegates to the Institute. They were men and women who were already members of churches. Some of them were officers of churches. Some of them sang in the choir. Some of them taught Sunday school. But they came forward at Billy's invitation to accept Christ. Church members who had never yet accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Church members in whom the Spirit of God still did not dwell. That's why you're not a witness for Christ, maybe, when you go to your office, because the Son of God is not in you. You don't have any ministry because the Holy Spirit does not inhabit your body to work through you the ministry of Christ. That's one of the reasons that the church does have a bad name in many places in the world. Because church members do not have the Holy Spirit, and therefore the work of Christ is not being done through them. And the church gets a bad name. If I had my way, I wouldn't have any membership in the church. It's very deceiving. Get your name on a roll, you're okay. No, you're not okay. Is Jesus Christ in you? Is the Holy Spirit in you? Fulfilling the ministry of the incarnation in you? That's the question. Having your name on the roll of a church is quite immaterial. You know, it's really exciting when you think about it. When you contemplate the fact that the ministry of Jesus Christ, which was geographically limited during His public life, is now unlimited geographically, and that thousands times thousands of men and women filled with the Holy Spirit are doing the work of the incarnation around the clock, 7 days a week, right where they are. Thrilling. It's everybody's job. But everybody can do it only as they let the one evangelist, the one missionary, the one preacher, the one witness do it through them. He wants to work in you, through you. He put you where you are that He might do it there through you. Your vocation, your profession is really secondary to your calling, which is to do the ministry of Christ where you are. This is Christianity. I'll be speaking next Sunday morning, God willing, a little bit about the extrovertness of God. Oh, that we might be extroverts for Christ's sake. That we might be so busy, concerned about other people and their needs and loving them and caring for them and bearing their burdens for Christ's sake, that we simply wouldn't have time to think about ourselves. Is the Holy Spirit in you? Is He able to do the work of the ministry which only He can do where you are? Will Jesus work in your office tomorrow morning, in your home, on your job, in your club? He will if you let Him. Let us pray. Father in heaven, help us to see the profound simplicity of this fact. That evangelism is not something we do, it's something the Holy Spirit does through us. Witnessing is not something we do, it's what the Holy Spirit does through us. And then help us simply, now, every day, every hour, every moment, step by step, be surrendered to the Holy Spirit so that He may do the work of Christ's ministry in us. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus with thanksgiving. Amen.